The Lou Trek Show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, home of the best podcasts like Byer Brown, Tech and Stuff at bbtas.com, and The Mike Tech Show at miketechshow.com. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
I'm your resident Ferengi coming to you live from FCA, Lou Costanzo.
Kapla from Kronos. This is the resident Klingon, Brian Dedimore.
Hey, all you Star Trek maniacs, this is Byer Brown from BBTAS.com, also The Blur. You're checking out The Lou Trek Show.
Don't move.
What's wrong?
The Borg lady.
She has a name, you know.
Smirnoff 9, tertiary adjunct of Human Matrix 01. Don't look. She'll assimilate you. I don't want to be in her collective.
I don't think there's much danger of that.
Is this chair occupied?
No. I mean, yes.
Explain.
You can't sit here. Somebody else is sitting here.
Very well.
So, I thought we'd pay another visit to sickbay.
I am Borg.
No, you're not.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Lou Trek Show. I'm your host, Lou. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to tonight's show. I apologize for the echo, but we're doing another interview on cell. Our main website is www.loutrekshow.com. There you'll find links to past shows. You'll find links to other podcasts, such as the one I mentioned. That was Byer Brown, my boy, my Byer Brown at bbtas.com. Brian, how are you? You on with me?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, Lou. Oh. I was just telling you your volume's going up and down.
I was noticing that, too, and I'm not sure what to make of it. Audacity doesn't seem to like what I'm doing today. I'm going to try and fix that, but first we should bring on our guest. You heard her talking
a
little bit.
Oh, yes, definitely bring on our guest.
You heard her talking a little bit as Naomi Wildman on Star Trek Voyager. Scarlett Palmer. Scarlett, how are you today?
I'm doing very good. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Wonderful.
And great.
It's great to have you on. I've been waiting how long? About a month and a half for this day?
Yeah,
it's
definitely
been a little while.
Been waiting this long for you.
Yes, and we've talked about it all the time, and I believe it was, it was like show 43. We talked about Equinox. Remember, Brian?
Yeah.
And I think we had a scene where we saw Naomi Wildman come in and greet the officer from the Equinox, and we decided that she was pretty much the cutest thing in Star Trek.
Aww.
Oh, yeah. It was either you or Porthos, the dog on Enterprise.
Oh, don't forget the Tribbles.
The Tribbles. Oh, I tell you. That's my things that make you go BS segment today is something about the Tribbles. I saw an episode of Enterprise, and it upset me. I'm going to have to definitely talk about the Tribbles.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. It was gruesome. It was horrible. but anyway.
Well, my first obvious question is, and this is, I don't know if you've been asked this any time when you've been at conventions or anything, but how does it feel being the most cutest Star Trek character in every series?
Oh, geez, I don't know about that.
Well, the problem is,
I have not been asked that before, but thank you. That's very sweet of you to say. It was a great show to work on. I mean, honestly, it was probably my favorite thing that I've worked on to date. So,
mm-hmm. Had you been on anything younger than Naomi?
Oh, yeah. I actually started acting when I was about 3 years old. So I had done stuff before that, for sure, but that was probably one of the bigger things that I had done up to that point. It was a great experience, and everybody treated me really well and just had a lot of fun. So.
All right. Well, then, you want to hear another bit of the past?
Oh, sure.
Oh, absolutely. Here we go. Here's another one I thought was really cute.
There.
Excellent. You recognize the complementary base pair.
Actually, I just found two pieces that fit together.
You're missing the point.
I thought the point was to finish the puzzle.
And learn something about genetics.
If you really want to help, find me a green piece that looks like Tuvok's ear.
Tuvok's ear. Yeah, I mean, you had some cute lines. One of my favorites was a telepathic pitcher plant.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's funny. I actually just watched that episode, like, about a month ago.
Did you? I mean, do you watch them very often?
I love Star Trek. That's Voyager and Next Generation are my two favorite series. There's a lot more reruns of Next Generation, that's for sure, so I definitely catch that one more than Voyager, but I own almost all the seasons of Voyager on DVD, and about a month or two ago, I sat down and watched pretty much from, like, the fourth season on up to, I'm on the seventh right now, so I haven't started it yet, haven't had time, but yeah, like, that's definitely one of my favorite episodes, and it was a fun one to work on, too, so.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, it was just you and Naomi and, excuse me, I got to delineate you and Naomi. It was just Naomi and Seven, you know, trying to save the ship, which it was cute. I'd sure love to interview Jeri Ryan.
Yeah, she's a really cool lady. I just saw her, actually. I did the big convention in Vegas last weekend, and it was a lot of fun. I got to see her, and I hadn't seen her or a bunch of the cast members actually in a long time, and I got to see all of them and kind of catch up and, you know, re-exchange new emails and whatnot. So, but yeah, I mean, she's a really cool lady. She's a great actress too. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh yeah.
Which convention in Las Vegas was she in?
We were at the Big Creation convention that happens every year. So,
Well, we'll be at Starbase India again this year, and I think I mentioned to you that Kim was looking for some more girl power.
Yeah, right now she's got Crystal Austin and your little Borg friend, the.
Manu.
The little Borg girl. I can't think of her name right off the top. We had her on last week, and I'm bad with names. I'm sorry.
Marley?
Marley.
Marley.
Okay.
I guess Chase pulled out at Starbase Indy, so they're trying to get a female in for
cool.
Starbase Indy. Mm-hmm. So they're working either Marley or Crystal Austin.
Okay.
They're trying to get one of them two in, but if you ever want to come to Indianapolis, talk to her. I mean, she's always willing to schedule in people in for future star bases. In fact, she's working on doing next year's programming now.
All right. Cool.
Really? Already?
I was just coming from the Starbase Indy meeting yesterday.
Hmm.
So, in fact, good news is I am on the security detail at Starbase Indy.
Oh, that's good.
I'm one of the senior security officers.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, Brian's really into that. Of course, it's going to be, the weekend of your birthday.
Oh, it's the weekend of my birthday?
Yeah, it's actually the day after Thanksgiving, isn't it? It's a start Friday, doesn't it, Brian?
Yeah, it starts Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 26th, 27th, 28th, I think, is the three dates.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
So
I'll have to look into it.
Yeah, if you don't have anything going on, you can certainly check that out. So what are you working on lately?
I'm mainly doing music right now. I sing and I play guitar a little bit. And right now I'm actually working on a five-song EP. Excuse me. I have a five-song EP out right now. But, I'm working on a full-length album. So, yeah, the five-song EP is called Insane, and you can get it on my website. It's sold through CD Baby. But right now I'm in the studio, and I just finished writing a few new songs, and I'm going to have some of the ones that are on the EP actually re-recorded, you know, more the way I want them to sound. So it should be really cool. I'm very excited about it.
Okay. Would it be okay if I play a little sample?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
When I requested that you think beyond yourself, you smile at me as if I'm acting like a typical woman. Why do I rely so heavily on your
And of course, that was from the Insane EP, and that was titled Insane. So, oh, it's going into the next one. We got to stop that. Okay. And of course, you did other things beyond Star Trek.
Yep, I did. I was on Reba for 6 years as a series regular.
Mm-hmm. Cure Our Heart.
So that was pretty cool.
That is some damn good music.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Tell me something about some of the actors on Star Trek Voyager, such as Ethan Phillips. What do you remember about working with Ethan?
Oh, he's probably one of my favorite people to work with ever. He is the funniest, nicest guy ever. I mean, he is absolutely hysterical. I actually saw him and got to hang out with him quite a bit at the convention. And he is just as funny as ever, just so quick. And especially him and Bob Picardo, who played, you know, the Doctor on Voyager, they're both, when they get together, it's you can't stop laughing. I mean, they are just the funniest guys. And they're both just really, really sweet and really cool people. And, you know, obviously they were great actors, too. You know, it was just a great cast. Ethan's a really cool guy, and I did a lot of, you know, most of my scenes with him, and mm-hmm. Yeah, like, he just really, I can't say enough nice things about him, basically.
Yeah, I do want to interview him, because he'll be at Starbase Indy this year as well. And
yeah, he's great. He's hilarious.
Well, Tim said he would send him an email and ask him if he'd be interested in doing a pre-convention interview, so if you have his contact, I'd sure appreciate if you'd back it up and send him one as well.
Sure.
Yeah. Tell him.
Yeah, sure.
Tell him he has no choice.
Besides your music, what else have you been doing, Scarlett?
Besides Reba?
I'm really, that's my main focus right now, but I also do photography, I kind of have been pursuing that for the last year or two, and really enjoying it. So that's kind of what I've been doing is music and photography, and yeah.
Okay. I was just thinking, of course, we know in the last episode of Voyager that Naomi Wildman did have a child. She was cute too, wasn't she, Brian?
Mm-hmm.
Have you
I didn't know that, actually.
Oh, you haven't seen the finale?
No. Oh, a Voyager.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Maybe.
That's okay.
Must not ask it clear enough. That's cool. Well, here's something from Reba that I pulled out. I thought this was kind of cute.
Okay. Sorry. It's just my band friend. We're going to practice.
Okay, honey, but band needs to study. Can you take your friend up to your room?
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, Kira.
Hi, Brian.
Hello. You're a Brian.
Mom.
I'm Mrs. Hart. Nice to meet you, Brian.
Hi.
So, You're a tuba player. And now you're a tuba player.
Yes, Mom. Well, this has been nice. Come on, Brian, let's go up to my bedroom.
Bedroom? Hold up. Change of plans. Here, you and Brian can practice down here, and Van and I will go into the kitchen.
What's the matter? Don't you trust Brian with me?
No.
Awesome.
Okay, two tubas in the house. I think I'm out of here. Yeah. I mean, obviously she set that up pretty good. Mom, my tuba friend is coming over. Can we practice? No, go up in your room, and then Brian walks in. Now, of course, my daughter did that.
My daughter's done that, too.
No, you know, my daughter's 8 now, and she won't admit it, but she has a boyfriend at school.
Aw.
Yeah, tell me about it. Aw, it's so cute.
Mine's 18. She's tried to pull that stuff more times than I can count.
No.
Oh, dear.
Not interested.
Keep a tight rein on those teenage girls, you know.
Oh, yeah. Cute as a button, too.
You know, one thing we noted a while during one of our shows was how quickly Naomi grew up. And it was almost impossible that, I mean, she was like a baby born, duplicated. One of the duplicates died, by the way. We were sad about that, because wouldn't it have been great to have two Naomis floating around the ship?
Oh, I don't know about that.
One was enough.
I don't know. I think the world can barely handle one of me.
Oh, no, I don't think so. What did Marley say last week that when she said when the Borg children, when there was an episode with the Borg children, it seemed like the ratings seemed to go up? Did they ever note that when Naomi was on?
You know, I don't know. I don't remember that because, it was pretty long time ago, but I don't know. I don't remember. I mean, that would be interesting to find out, and I didn't know that about the Borg kids. Yeah, I mean, that could be a possibility. I know that, people like to have a lot of, you know, range in the characters, the ages and things like that, and I'm sure that, you know, kids probably, you know, would watch more if there's a little kid that they can relate to, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. The Next Generation brought the idea of children on a starship. And of course, in Deep Space Nine, there was Jake, Nog, and a few other Bajoran children. But then, you know, Voyager, it had to go to Voyager to bring on a... Obviously, they thought they were going to be there for 65 years, so they became a generational ship, so naturally... But, of course, what I didn't understand, and this is one maybe Brian can help me with here. I'm trying to remember when Naomi was born on Star Trek Voyager. What season did she come on as a character? Do you remember, Scarlett? Because I know it wasn't you. It was another girl that played Brooke Stevens.
It was the baby.
Yeah, the baby was... Actually, she was...
Didn't the baby come on towards the end of the first season, beginning of second season?
You know, I don't remember. I want to say it was the second season, but I don't remember for sure, honestly.
Okay.
Because I think the lady who played your mother was pregnant throughout the whole first season. I think somewhere either towards the end of first season or beginning of second season is when you were born.
That's
kind of hard to say because you actually were a kid when you actually started playing the part, but when your character was born.
I don't remember exactly when it was. I'm pretty sure it was the second season.
Yeah, because I was thinking, obviously, Voyager's had been in the Delta Quadrant for over a year.
I think they were in the middle of a battle when she was born, wasn't she?
No, well, no. There was they were in some kind of anomaly that every piece of matter was duplicated on the ship.
Okay.
And the only thing that wasn't duplicated was antimatter, and of course, one ship starts the proton burst, which helps, you know, starts destroying the other ship. Sick bay system goes down, so then the first Naomi died. So actually, it was the second Naomi was a duplicate. And but what I was getting at is, if it was in the second season, when did Samantha Wildman get pregnant from her Qatarian husband?
Before when she came on board Voyager.
Obviously,
to start that, she was already pregnant.
Yeah, obviously it was a come back soon, dear, and she never made it back. So he probably, I suppose the husband never knew that Naomi was even around. Possible.
Well, he probably did. He probably did when Barclay got the connection with Voyager and they passed information between each other.
That's true. Well, what was some of the funnest things that you did on Voyager? What was your number one episode that you thought was the best?
I still really like the first one that I was on, which was Once Upon a Time. It was such an incredible, like, new experience to, you know, work on a science fiction show, and then it's such a legendary one, and series, and my brother is a big fan of before I even opted for it, and I kind of knew a little bit about it just because he, you know, on Wednesday night, and but I hadn't seen it, and then you know, I went on an audition for it, and afterwards I actually came back and watched an episode, and I really liked it. You know, I definitely appreciated the fact that there was a female captain and all that good. So, and the show just really was well written, in my opinion. I mean, now I love watching it. Like I said, Voyager and Next Generation, those are my favorite series. So, Once Upon a Time was great. I mean, there was so many cool sets and makeup and props and things like that. You know, we had all the scenes with Holodeck and Enchanted Forest and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff, and it was great. I mean, it was really a neat thing to work on, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, Trevis and Flotter, that was a I love that episode. I don't even know if this is Flotter and the Tree Monster, or the Adventures of Flotter. Is that something that the writers of Voyager came up with, or is that real? Not real, but I mean, is that a real?
I think similar stories. You know, there's obviously and forest creatures like that in mythology and whatnot, but that specific story the writers with.
You played an episode where you were trying to simulate, you were trying to be a Borg, with because you 7 of 9 inspired you for some reason.
Oh, like to be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you enjoy trying to assimilate being a Borg when you were actually not a Borg at all?
I think we even saw you in the alcove at one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I think, when Seven was having a dream. I was in the alcove, and then I had mixed up.
Well, my question is how do people take you at conventions? Because most people who know you kind of look at you as you grew up through the whole series, okay? Even though you weren't the baby, you still basically was the kid who grew up on the ship, kind of like Will Wheaton's character on Star Trek: The Next Gen. Okay, do they kind of associate you with him on that part when you go to conventions?
No, I've actually never met him, but I hear he's a pretty cool guy. I don't know. You know, I did a couple of conventions when I was younger with Marley and the twins, who were the Borg. Other than that, you know, it was kind of just, I think whoever, you know, was who they were interested in having, they just kind of brought me on. So. But, I was always very well received at conventions, and I still am, which is, you know, it's it's so surprising to me such a long time ago, but at the same time, Star Trek fans are really awesome people and just really sweet and very welcoming and very smart, too, very intelligent. So it's always great to meet them at conventions. But, yeah, I mean, even, you know, I'm 10 years old, and I went to Con in Vegas, and everybody just seemed grateful to have me there and interested to hear what I'm doing now and all that good stuff. So I've never had a bad experience with a Star Trek fan, that's for sure.
Yeah, I just... You're one of the few, you're one of only two unique characters that actually has the privilege of growing up through a whole series.
Well,
and
series.
I wanted to know how they received you concerning that, because that's you're kind of unique in that aspect. Before, we would never see kids, and even when Cisco's son came on, he was almost a teenager.
Yeah.
Or he was a teenager when he came on. And he actually got to grow up to adulthood, where the other where you and Will Wheaton's character actually came on as kids and grew up throughout the whole series. And that I thought that was a very unique question to ask you. Also, how was it like to have having the Borg kids around? The kids your age to mingle with when they finally came on.
It was cool. You know, I was used to working with adults, you know, and kids throughout my life, because it's, you know, it's one of those industries where you kind of, you know, you work with a lot of adults in the crew and you know, the producers and whatnot, and also the actors, but yeah, so it was always nice to have them there, you know, to kind of just hang out with. And, you know, we all had our school time together. So that was cool. And, yeah, I mean, they're really nice people, too. So it was kind of, you know, like having a built-in buddy on the set.
Sure. Well, I asked Manu, one of the questions I asked him is, how come Ichib never tried to take over the ship? I mean... You know, Seven tried to take over several times so she can go back to the collective, but each of them never did. And I said, you know, what they should have done was had one where each of them went crazy, took Naomi Wildman hostage until, you know, they allowed him to go back to the Borg. Or, you know, we should have had one where the twins were fighting over Mazzotti. You know,
yeah.
I thought it was funny. The funny question, why didn't each of them ever take Naomi hostage until he can go back to the collective?
Certainly would have been an interesting episode.
Yes, but here's the one I found once upon a time.
Ouch!
Wake up.
Who's there?
Naomi.
Come back later.
You know what I think? I think you're scared of the tree monster.
I'm not scared of any tree monster, Miss Wildman. But, as you know, I need my beauty sleep.
I'm sorry I woke you, but we have a mission.
You and your missions. Lucky for you, your old pal Flutter has everything ready. Follow me.
And, of course, you know, I try not to play too much because I don't want to get Paramount on my ass. But, I wanted to ask you a question.
Sure.
The scenes... Now, I know you were very young, but my guess is this is probably mostly green screened, right?
Actually, they really did build that the whole forest. That scene, you know, that whole thing is real. there really wasn't much green screen for those scenes, except for when the fire monster shows up and there's, like, a big guy that looks like a giant sun.
Yeah.
That was, you know, CGI, but... yeah, I mean, the set was real. They built it in a soundstage, and it was really beautiful, actually. It looked amazing. So
it did.
What you're seeing is we were really there.
Wow, because that's why I assumed it had to be green screen, because it was stunning. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Okay. And, you know, I always thought it was interesting why she always identified herself as Naomi Wildman. And every time they talked about her. It was always Naomi Wildman. Why not just Naomi?
No,
it's irrelevant.
Maybe it was just because, I mean, Naomi was always kind of formal and, you know, tried to be like one of the crew and that sort of thing. And, you know, maybe it was kind of her way of feeling like an adult, you know.
Oh, well, she had a very important job. Captain's assistant?
I mean,
I mean, look how many crew members were, you know, just crewmen. Crewmen couldn't be captain's assistant. Yeah. I mean, they even had an episode where, you know, Janeway went down to the lower decks to where the little people are. And I don't know if you remember that one. And, you know, she got out and saw people. She knew them by name. She may have seen them at a couple, you know, functions, but they would never get to be captain's assistant, so.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So whenever Janeway needed a decision made, she always went to Naomi and said, "What do I do? Help me." Now, that didn't happen, but it should have. I think Naomi would have gotten him home years earlier.
She's taking the helm, basically.
Yeah, why? Yes! Why couldn't she sit up there? Why? Yeah, send Tom on his way and let Naomi sit in the chair and press the buttons.
Aw, poor Tom.
Yeah, well.
Hey, hypothetical question.
Uh-oh.
Now that you're back in the Alpha Beta Quadrant again.
Alpha Quadrant.
It's Alpha Beta.
It's Alpha.
The whole realm is the area of Star Trek the Romulans, Klingons, Cardassians is basically Alpha Beta.
No.
For the most part, by the maps. But anyway.
No. We'll argue
apples
that
and
one later.
Apples and oranges.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Now that you're back on an orange.
What do you think your character would have been after they got back? What would you have done?
I imagine that she would have gone to school and, you know, probably after that went right to Starfleet. I mean, there was an episode later, I believe it was Enterprise, where they had an older actress playing Naomi as an ensign. And then I don't know if you guys are familiar with the new Star Trek game, Star Trek Online, but there's actually a character in the game that you meet called Naomi Wildman, and she's a commander. So, which is pretty cool. So,
Starfleet.
I guess she would have gone to school and then just gone right to Starfleet Academy. So,
but she was too smart for that.
Too smart for Starfleet?
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe Voyager ever talked about who schooled Naomi. There was no school. There was no need for a school. So just...
Well, they had a few scenes where, you know, various crew members were kind of, you know, giving her a lesson on certain things. And I think they kind of mentioned a few times about Neelix, you know, teaching her about some things, but I don't think she had a formal teacher on the ship. I think it was just kind of, you know, learn as much as you can from the people you're with. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure she did a lot of reading, because when you're stuck out in space, there's a lot of time for that.
I would imagine so, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Brian, what else do you have? Anything?
Well, I was something that from talking with other kid actors that questions brought up. Did you have someone on the Voyager staff and crew that was kind of like your mother figure or your father figure or somebody that you were really close to among the crew?
Let me see if I can guess that. My guess, if I had to guess, the father figure obvious would be Neelix. And the mother figure
I
is...
Would
Yeah, and the mother figure's tossed between Janeway and Seven.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is I had most of my scenes with Ethan Phillips, who played Neelix, and, you know, and he definitely was always a total sweetheart and very, you know, welcoming. Asked me, you know, are you doing okay? Do you need anything? And, you know, he's just a great guy. So definitely, you know, I was probably closest to him on the cast. And then later on, I had more scenes with Jerry Ryan. And so, yeah, I mean, the thing is I didn't have, you know, a lot of scenes with a lot of other people on the cast. I had one or two here and there. And even, you know, the captain, there wasn't a ton of scenes that I got to do with her. And I wish there were, because it was, you know, Kate Mulgrew is amazing to work with and a really cool lady. So that would have been nice to have a few more scenes of her. But I understand that, you know, there's a lot of people on that cast. I think it's like nine regulars or something. And then I was recurring. So they kind of have to get to everybody. But, yeah, I mean, everybody was awesome to work with, honestly.
Yeah, and interesting, you know, I'm looking at a memoryalpha.org for Naomi. And, I'd never realized this. Now, you said Trekkies are pretty smart people. And, you know, when it comes to Star Trek... I'm doing this podcast for a reason. I love this stuff and I know it. But here's something I never noticed. Obviously, a lot of people had to go for a lot of makeup. Seven had to get her Borg things put on. So did the four children. All you had were the forehead spikes, I want to call them. So that had to be pretty easy makeup. But here's something interesting.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was really easy. They would just, they were just these little tiny pieces, and they would just put a little bit of adhesive on the back and stick them on there, and then kind of paint them up a little bit to make them look more real, more flesh colored, I guess. And then that was it, pretty much.
It's interesting.
A little bit of powder here.
Yeah.
That's it.
Because I'm not looking at. They have a picture of the baby. Then they have a picture that of Brooke, as a, you know, when she did her bit, and then they have a picture of you. And the the baby and Brooke have three little, I call them head, you know, forehead spikes. They have three of them, whereas your character had four.
Yeah, I guess Naomi grew another one later.
That's interesting. There's one I never realized till just this moment.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool. I mean, when I was on the show,
I loved Klingons, and I wanted to be a Klingon so badly. I wanted to be like a tough, you know, wild Klingon, and they're still probably my favorite race of aliens in the Star Trek series. So, but at the same time, you know, somebody like that, or, you know, even Phillips, I mean, they came in at 5 in the morning and were there for, you know, 4 or 5 hours just getting their makeup done, sleeping in the makeup chair. So, you know, it's cool. It was cool that I didn't have to, you know, deal with the makeup thing every day. But at the same time, it would have been kind of awesome to, you know, look completely different than I usually do, because I haven't gotten to do a lot of parts like that. I haven't done anything where I had to really get a ton of, you know, wild makeup or anything like that, which I would love to do, so...
Okay.
It had its good and bad.
All right. Well, you know, another thing is I wanted to play a blooper on Tim Russ. We didn't have enough time. But I have not found any blooper reels for you. I mean, obviously, there had to be times that they said, you know, action, you're saying, cut, do this again. Obviously, that had to happen a lot, right?
No, I never messed up.
Never,
no,
ever.
I'm kidding.
Never, ever, ever,
I'm totally
ever.
Kidding.
We got to get some.
I'm totally kidding. No. Of course, everybody messes up. But I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm sure they have them somewhere, but...
I can't find any Naomi.
So, I don't know. Maybe you just can't find them.
Yep, I can't find any Naomi blooper, so I just assumed that she was perfect. She was such a cutie.
Oh, well, yeah, totally.
Totally. I mean, goodness gracious. You can't watch an episode where Naomi comes on the screen and you don't go, aw, she was just the cutest.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, I'm sorry. She was the cutest thing ever on Star Trek. Ever. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Just bubbly, personable. I don't know. I
thought that you should have been more reoccurring.
Yeah, well, you know,
because you were such a you made storylines. You actually your little what you did was fun to have, mm-hmm. and I think people related to you a lot more too, having you having a kid having to deal with this long voyage and doing it without your mother.
Well, Mom was there, but we didn't see as much of Mom as we did of Naomi.
Yeah. She's probably busy working.
yeah, she's busy. Well, she was an engineer, wasn't she?
Yeah, I think she was.
Remember, I think so.
Yeah. So,
pretty busy job.
Yeah, and of course, you know, I played that clip that had, you know, Neelix, don't turn around, the Borg lady. You know, you went. Mm-hmm. She went from fearing Seven to becoming one of her best friends. So that was fun too.
Yeah, that was a cool relationship to watch, you know, kind of develop throughout the show and everything. So.
All right. Well, hey, we're gonna let you go. You probably would like some dinner today, so.
Yeah.
All
great
right.
Talking to you guys.
No, it was fun to talk to you. And like I said, if you can tell anybody you want, I mean, I even want to get Robert Beltran on because, I've seen some things about Robert that he hated Voyager. He hated it with a passion. He wanted off it. He wanted to be killed off.
I would like to ask him an off Star Trek question.
Oh well, we'll
how was it like to work with Chuck Norris?
Oh, okay.
Chuck Norris,
he co-starred with him on Lone Wolf McQuaid or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He was playing a Border Patrol cop.
Okay.
All right. But we're trekking these parts.
Yeah, I don't think he felt that strongly about the show. I think he enjoyed it probably. He always seemed, you know, happy to me when I saw him. So.
Oh, I loved his character. That's why my wife, I think, wants to do this interview. She's definitely into the Native American culture, which he brought out. And that would be a terrific interview if we can get him on. So anybody you want to, you know, send out a mass email tonight or something and just say, hey, these guys really would like to interview some people. I expect that the original series, they're not going to talk to us. Next Generation, probably the same. Deep Space Nine, possible. But so far, you're the fourth or fifth person we've had from Voyager.
We've had Garrett, Tim...
Manu,
Scarlett, and well, you and
Marley.
Marley, that's five.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, and Barbara Luna, we interviewed her. That was fun. Yes, it was.
I think that's our only original series one, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Walter.
That's our only original series person we've had on.
Yeah. Walter wouldn't talk to us. So anyway, but okay, thank you so much for coming on, and you're always welcome back. If you have something that you want to plug, something that you're going to do, your EP, next one you do, why don't you send me a Facebook message, say you'd like to come on and plug it, and we'll be happy to.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on, and you take care, dear.
Thank you. Thanks, you guys. You have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Kapla.
Kapla. All right. All right, Brian. I sure liked her. And now it's time for my personally favorite segment we affectionately call Things That Make You Go BS, where what's being said or what's being done in Trek just plain makes you go bullshit. I do like the intro, but here is something that made me go bull, you know what. We're going to maintain our family friendly. But here, let me set this scene up. It's a scene that happens on Star Trek Enterprise, Season 2, I don't know, 20-something episode in. But anyway, it starts out with Hoshi walking into sickbay, and we see Phlox feeding his animals. And now listen to this, and imagine what Hoshi was thinking.
What is that?
It's multiplied. It's called the triple. It was extremely difficult to acquire. They're outlawed on most worlds.
Why? Is it dangerous?
Oh, far from it. All it's capable of doing, really, is eating and breeding.
Problem is, they breed quite prodigiously.
He just dropped it in a cage with one of his creatures.
The only thing that keeps their population in check is the abundance of reptiles on their homeworld. Are you feeling all right, Ensign?
Well, he asked her that question because she was horrified. She's holding this fuzzy little tribble in her hand. She doesn't know what it is. He says, it's a tribble. All they do is they eat and they breed. And then he walks over to his cage, drops the tribble in, and his one of his creatures, you can hear the poor tribble screaming in agony as it's getting eaten up, and the look on Hoshi's face of, oh my god, that is my BS moment there. I cannot believe the writers did that. I never realized that. I mean, I would never watch Enterprise for a long time. Now I do kind of like them, but I don't remember this one. I don't remember him dropping a harmless, defenseless little tribble into a cage to get eaten up.
Well, it's like anything else, Lou. I mean, you throw a rat in a snake cage to do what?
But it's not a tribble. It's not a rat is an ugly-looking and disease-infested
You throw a gerbil or a hamster in a snake cage to do what?
No, you would
to be eaten.
Oh, that is a sick, disgusting person. Is that mean to a defenseless
come on, that's why you buy them for.
Hamster. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Don't tell
me. You'd be surprised the number. If you go in a pet store and they and you ask them what's good to feed a snake, don't be surprised if they'll point you to the hamster cage.
Oh,
the gerbil cage.
I don't know, man. It just seems horrible.
Well, that's what tribbles are good for.
Okay. Well,
actually, they're a sentient species.
They were, that was until the Klingons obliterated the home world. I loved it when Odo said, "Do they still sing songs of the great Tribble Hunt?" Okay, well.
Oh, that is so funny because it's the only time you ever hear Klingons actually brag about killing something that's weaker than they are.
Uh-huh.
It's because the sound that they make actually irritates their hyper hearing because they have exceptional hearing as well as sense. And Klingons will, the sound just. It's like nails across a chalkboard when they're doing that sound that they make.
All right, that's cool. Well, let's okay. I vented. I didn't think. I mean, come on. Tribbles got to be known as pretty furry, fuzzy little tiny helpless creatures, and flocks just threw it in a cage. Come on. All right. Well, then, I guess we...
Hey, Phlox, you are a Klingon warrior to the end.
Oh, absolutely. You made that Klingon's day. And he's another one, John Billingsley. I want to interview him, too, because I still think he was the best doctor in Starfleet. So, but anyway, let's go ahead.
No. The best doctor in Starfleet was hands down McCoy.
Damn it, Jim. I guess so. Okay. Well, no.
How many doctors do you know get to actually heal a silicon-based life form? Come on.
Yeah, but Phlox was assimilated by the Borg and healed himself. So, hey, I think he's good. But anyway, let's go ahead. The Tribble's dead. We don't need to go on and grieve any longer. And now it's time for Trek Birthday. The Lou Trek Show is proud to wish a very happy birthday to those who have made Trek the wonderful, happy place it is. Happy birthday wishes go out to... I say it's your birthday. We got a very, 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 very special one to start out this birthday wish to. Because if it hadn't been for this person, we wouldn't be here celebrating anybody's birthday in Star Trek either. Because we're talking about Gene Roddenberry. Of course, Gene's not with us any longer, but still, he was born on August 19th. Which is the day that this show is going out, August 19, 1921. And, of course, his remains are currently orbiting the Earth. Gene Roddenberry, happy birthday to you. We sure miss having you around. But next we're going to go on while Brian is...
Brian's still loading.
Brian's computer... probably was not maintained well by Geordi the Forge. Just hit the refresh key. Try another, send out another packet and see if it comes back any better. But next on our list, I guess, will be, Diana Muldaur. Did you know her birthday was this also on the 19th? She celebrates with Gene, and of course we all know her as Dr. Kate Pulaski, which... not too many people liked, which is why she only was on one season. And I still say that what they should have done before they brought Crusher back in L.A. Law fashion, she should have tried to get on a turbo lift, only to find the turbo lift wasn't there, and she fell 50 decks to her death.
And now, in her defense, she is the only TOS star that managed to make it into a crossover and get into the next gen other than Nigel Barrett herself.
Or Leonard Nimoy, or DeForest Kelly, or...
played a part, because she played several episodes in TOS.
Yeah.
Okay, and then she managed to get on and spend a year on next gen.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe because her character, I don't think it's the actor, but I think it was the character that came off as so brash. And that's why people were just turned off of Dr. Pulaski.
Actually like Dr. Pulaski. I wish she would have stayed on, personally.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I liked her, too. But
No offense to you, Gates, but you were just so... too perky for my taste. I like a doctor who's more blunt, straight, and right to the point, mm-hmm. and isn't afraid to tell the captain that this is the way it's going to be, Bubba.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there was definitely a thing between her, Pulaski, and Picard that rivaled the Kirk and McCoy.
Yeah.
So. But anyway, while you're still loading up, we're going to go on to the next big, big, big shot. Also born on the same day in 1952 was Jonathan Frakes, who played Commander Beard and Mustache Riker.
Get it right. He's now Captain Riker.
Is he Captain? Oh, or
yes, he's full Captain. He has his own command now.
Captain William T. Troy. That was funny when he said that, Commander Troy. Oh, that pissed him off. Yes, okay.
Take the helm, Mr. Troy.
Yes.
That one-liner was the greatest in the world. That was on Nemesis, if I remember right. And everyone on the crew on the bridge was
laughing.
Oh, my God.
Yes. All right. Well, here's another one. Robert Blackman, he was a costume designer on The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and Enterprise. And he started, I guess, he may have started on season 7. No, maybe not. I'm not sure what season he started on The Next Generation, so we can't really blame him for the men in dresses thing that I despise so much. So,
men in dresses? You mean the those goofy dress uniforms?
No, they were not. That's the thing. They were not dress uniforms. They were men in dresses. You could see a couple of times, you see them walking throughout the corridor of season 1 of The Next Generation. Like the first 10 episodes, you'd see a guy passing through engineering in a dress. And it was just, it was incredible. I mean, I don't know what the heck. I can't believe, I think that was a day Gene Roddenberry called in sick or was doing something else, because he, I can't imagine him standing on the set saying, oh, that looks good, go ahead, put him in a dress. So, no, I have a hard time with that.
And now, I have some nice birthdays for all of us. Mm-hmm. I always have to find a Klingon, and I can't think of any other Klingon better than our favorite Gulag commander, William Morgan Shepherd.
Yes.
Born in 1932. But here's a nice one, someone that you don't hear too much about, but she's a very popular actress. Kim Cattrall, born in 1956.
Yeah, but she was a Vulcan and she was a traitor.
Now, the original, as we were talking a few minutes ago, Jack Hinkle, born in 1938. The original, what was it, the caretaker?
No, that was Oliver McGowan.
Okay.
Yeah, he played the original.
Oliver McGowan.
Yeah, caretaker of the Shoreleaf planet in the original series. Yeah, Jack Hinkle. Visual effects editorial for the motionless picture. Sorry, guy. I know, Jack. You probably don't want to talk about that anymore. What else can we come up with here? We have Jennifer Lean. We also know her as Kes and the Voyager. And, of course, she was never on with Naomi Wildman, so there's no point in asking her about that. And here's another good one. John Savage. We talked about him a few times.
Yeah, I was going to say about that one.
Equinox. I love John Savage. He's an incredible actor. So,
if you're listening to this, John, we would like to have you on. We'd like to hear your side of the Equinox.
Yeah, right. What's he going to say? It's just a script, guys. You know, no, it's not. I mean, you know, he did pretty good. So, I like him as an actor. So, well, anyway, we have one that we're going from the 19th to the 25th. So we won't go any further, but next week we'll be pulling in one that you probably all will know very good, very good. Well, at least some of you younger folks will, but the older folks who from the original series on, you don't know, but we will talk about that one next week. So, Ryan, you got anything else happening that you want to talk about?
No, other than Starbase Indies coming up. The weekend of Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving.
Yes, Black Friday. Oh, man, I hope I can go. The budget's looking tough, man. I'm telling you, the budget is looking very, very tough this year.
Well, we got Tim ready in the backup, and we've got everything ready to work away, baby. We'll deal with it if you're not there.
I want to be so bad. You know, I want to meet Ethan Phillips.
Oh, I did want to tell you something.
Yeah?
I talked with Kim. We're going to see if we can't get you a $25 entrance fee instead of $30.
Entrance fee? Why are we paying an entrance? Oh, man. Okay.
Everyone pays.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, we didn't pay in TrekFest, though. But, whatever.
No, but we did pay in Starbase Indy last year.
That's true.
Okay, and we paid full price. I'm working to see about getting you a $25.
Eh, whatever. $25, $30, it's only five more. I'd spend more than that on the pizza I'll have that night. And
you ain't paying nothing for your pizza that night.
What do you mean?
Don't you remember what I told you? I'm paying for your pizzas your next 2 days when you're up there, remember?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes, I got my two favorite pizza places ready to make you a very, very nice pepperoni pizzas.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. I can't wait for that.
Small Town Pizza and Pizza Dominion.
Oh, not the Dominion. I don't want to be under Dominion rule.
Oh, pardon me. It's Domain. Pardon me.
Oh.
Screw up.
Oh, well, that's fine.
They've got the first one is your nice everyday heavy pepperoni, nice cheese on pizza, and then the other one's your New York's, your fabulous large slice New York style pizza.
What was the first one called?
Small Town Pizza.
I'm going to have to look that up right now. Small Town Pizza. Located in historic
Ingalls, Indiana.
Okay.
I don't know if they've got a website.
Yeah, they do. Smalltownpizza.com. And since we talked about them, you know, I'm going to have to put that in the webpage. That'll be on the main page if you want to. Ooh, calzones. Sounds good.
Yeah, they do some. They do. Pizza Domain does some really great calzones.
Yeah.
Pizza? They make their marinara sauce. They hand make their marinara sauce every day.
Ah, boy. Oh, dear. Come on. Can't we both?
And their pizza sauce.
Cool. Well, I can't wait for that. All right, everybody. Well, you know, let me find something here I was going to look up.
See, I think in, what, 2 weeks we go. I go back for my monthly pizza binge.
Do you?
Yeah, but I'll let them know that we talked about them on the Lou Trek show.
You're going to try and scam a free pizza off them, aren't you?
Hell no, I know I'm not going to get free pizza off of them. I know better.
All right, well, since...
Besides that, I wouldn't try to scam a free pizza off of them.
Oh, I see. Good boy. Well, since Brian didn't talk about this, you know, I might as well go ahead and do it just to get it out of the way. I can't do a village people, man. So, okay, Brian, you got one and only in the Navy. I didn't want to leave you out, so.
That's all right. I really didn't care today.
Today
wouldn't have cared.
I thought about finding a way to talk about that when Scarlett was on. And I was like, Brian, what branch of the service are you on? And you know, but it didn't work. I didn't want to do it. So, all right. Well, then, I guess that's going to bring us to the close of.
You know what? I'm going to stand up from the command chair. I'm going to walk over to the helm. I'm going to say, Lou, today's your day. Sit in the command chair and send us on our way.
In other words, I want to thank everybody for downloading and listening to tonight's show, and I especially want to thank Scarlett for doing the interview. I just love Naomi Wildman. I think everybody does. At least you should. So thank you again, Scarlett. You're wonderful. Everybody, good night.
Good night.
Kapla.
Kapla.